for granted. But how was I to know that you'd be letting go? Now it cuts like a knife, but it feels so right. Yeah, it cuts like a knife.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners. This is the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema. And that man bun is getting taller and taller as we speak.
It is.
It's like a peak.
Yeah, I don't even know what that thing is called now.
I gotta keep it till at least Halloween. That's the thing.
What's on Halloween?
Halloween is like I'm doing like a Viking thing with my hair. That's why I'm growing it out.
Oh,
so
by
I'm like
the way,
gonna be like authentic.
Halloween's,
you know,
tomorrow. So you can cut it on Sunday. Anytime you want.
I remember the first time I came into One Buck and I had like my hair all the way up in my hat. You literally looked at me and you're like,
he cut it.
Did you cut your hair? Yeah. Like, so shocked.
Yeah. I was hoping.
I can't. This is like my tweeting power, like with Samson.
Well, then keep it.
All right.
Just wear a hat. But anyway, that is the voice of the young man, the millennial, Trevor Sikkema.
This is the voice of the old man saying, get to the damn Bucks news. This is a Bucks podcast.
Calm your ass down, Uncle Stan.
Dang, never.
Everybody's a little ornery this week.
I tell you,
it's been a weird week. Uncle Stan
yeah.
is,
players,
you know?
calling presidents retards, things like that.
You need to apologize.
I didn't call anybody a retard.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
No, it was Gerald. And he did apologize.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, you know, the big topic around here is the health of the Buccaneers. Got smoked against the Vikings. On the scoreboard, but also
smoke's
on the field
word.
Physically.
Smoke is a good word.
A lot of guys banged up. They had some guys already out to begin with.
There were a lot of injuries on Sunday. Right, Mark?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Like Cam Brain said, no injury. I'm fine now. Maybe. I don't know. It looks like it's a little infected, but anyway, we'll see.
Mark had a mystery injury. You should ask him about it on Twitter after you listen to this podcast.
I have pictures I could post.
There's no injury. It's fake news. There was no injury. Scott is just making up stories.
Why
to try
did you
and
end
boost,
up at the walk-in clinic? That's
try
all
and
I'm
boost
saying.
Ratings for our podcast, like it's sweeps week or something. Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but apparently there's a lot of knife injuries in that program. Is
there
that true?
Are some knife injuries?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, all right.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Right, so anyway,
you know, the interesting thing is we went with Hurt, Johnny Cash's Hurt.
Got a lot of unfortunate compliments on that.
Yes.
You know, like they appreciated the reference.
Yes.
They weren't happy that it fit so well.
Agreed. We almost went with Everybody Hurts from REM, though.
That's a pretty good one,
because
too.
Because that also applied to the PR staff.
Or The First Cut is the Deepest. We could have went with that song.
Wow, that is a good one. All right, so ask Mark about that, but let's talk about who's actually hurt that matters.
Mac the Knife?
That's a good one, too. Jeez, that's good.
All right, here's the injuries.
Scratch fever? No. More than a scratch.
So who's out this week for the Buccaneers?
So we are recording.
Levante David, right? He's out.
We are recording this podcast on Friday afternoon, and the only player who has the word out next to his name
is Levante David, right?
Is Quan Alexander.
What?
Which,
what?
Folks, that's not good, because Levante David, we know he basically has like a low-end high ankle sprain, right? I mean, like, is that fair?
Yes.
So, like,
you could say a mild high ankle sprain, like, and that's still at least 3 weeks.
Levante is not going to play.
Correct. He's not going to play against the Patriots either.
And they have him as doubtful.
Yes.
And they just have Quan as straight out.
Yes.
That's bad.
Yes. Agreed. And here's the thing. I'm going to come clean. I've been dealing with my own hamstring injury for about 7 weeks now.
You've been out for a while.
Actually, but no, it's been over 2 months. Actually, it's been closer to 9 weeks. And I'm a 45-year-old man, and I do not resemble an athlete any way, shape, or form.
I can vouch for that 1,000%.
Right.
I've seen this guy with no clothes on in Mobile,
yes.
Alabama.
Well, no.
Dancing on the bar at the battleship.
I have always kept my boxers on. But here's the thing. My hamstring injury has taken me forever to rehab. Again, I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not even an athlete, period. But it does take an awful long time. I did not know the value of physical therapy until I tore my hamstring.
Quote, Bucks writer says he could play middle linebacker for the Bucks, end quote.
Absolutely not. But I might be able to play some defensive end.
Oh, boy.
Just saying. No, kidding. Of course
not.
But here,
wait, you have a hard time pushing the gas pedal in your car.
Oh, I do with my right leg because it's my right hamstring. Yes, it hurts. It actually hurts to drive my car. Now, the SUV, I sit in a different angle. It's different.
We should get you some of those hand controls like they do for, like, handicapped people in wheelchairs. So you can drive just using
that would have been helpful over the summer, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Quan Alexander, I hope he gets back soon. This team really needs him.
We all do. He's fun.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, and that's an injury, too. And we saw it with Doug Martin last year, guys. We saw them get Doug back to practice right around that Panthers game after being out from week two in Arizona. And all of a sudden, he tweaks it again. And it's a high ankle sprains. I said it last year on 620. High ankle sprains and hamstrings are the worst because just when you think you've gotten over it, it can come right back.
I say death is the worst. Like if you died in a game, that would be the worst.
Death is
you
relief.
Would not come back from that game. I mean, you would not come back the rest of the season at least.
You would might. Be out.
You'd miss a year.
You would be on IR for sure.
You don't know that for sure.
No, I'm pretty sure.
No, there are a couple people in the Bible who died and then, you know, came back to play a football game.
Lazarus?
Like Cameron Brate last week.
Correct.
I thought he died in that game. He's not even listed on the injury report.
Cameron Brate, a biblical character. Yes, indeed.
How about the ref coming over and saying, sorry, Dirk, didn't see your player almost get decapitated.
Yeah. Man. Remember the old Madden, the first one on the on a console?
Yes.
Remember when he would say, you know, boom, he knocked his helmet off. Hopefully his head's not still in it or something like that. That
was and the funny. Ambulance would come out.
Right. I thought that's what was going to happen to Cameron Brate.
Like in the game, in the old school Madden, I'm dating myself here, and you too, Mark. But the old school Madden, an ambulance would come out onto the field and cart the player off.
They would put him on a stretcher and put him out.
And this is back when the NFL used to market
greatest
highlight
hits.
Videos, greatest hits.
That was the first thing.
Jacked
I,
up.
That was
best segment of all time.
That was the first thing I looked at when I went to Blockbuster Video was for the new NFL VHS on the greatest hits of the year or whatever it was.
I mean, now that's like, looking back at it, it's like Faces of Death.
Right.
You know? It's like there were so many people that almost literally died. And I hate to, I'm not laughing at this part, but gosh, Davante Adams last night.
Holy cow, man.
That was a wicked hit.
I don't think I've ever seen a more paralyzing hit. That guy just went straight to the ground, and like my stomach sank. For a split second, I truly thought he might be dead.
Yeah, I didn't see that part of the game live. Whew, I saw
that
the replays.
That was scary. That was very scary.
Thankfully, he's out of the hospital.
Yes.
You know? And Danny Trevathan, I think, they're going to have to suspend
Suspension
him.
Suspension coming.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that was
for
dirty.
Sure.
That was dirty for sure.
I mean, so the Bucks, you know, being out Alexander and David, never good.
Not just for this game, Trevor, but it's going to be for Thursday night.
Well, I mean, I'm going to defer to Dirk Hutter and say that, you know, we're focused on the Giants game in this podcast.
There you go.
Thank you, Scott.
Well said.
I'll stop you right there, he told Scott.
He did. I got cuttered today a little bit. Not as bad as
Roy.
Yesterday.
I guess the good news is the Giants can't run the football. So normally, you know, having your linebackers in because I'm not trying to downgrade certainly anything that Quan and David do. You know, they're much better in coverage. They're more natural as linebackers. They're more athletic guys. But
exactly.
you can plug people in to get tackles as long as the defensive line is holding their gaps, right? And so that's why Glanton can look good, Beckwith can look good, and they have looked good in flashes because I think the team can hold their gaps.
Right.
But
Mike Smith said this on Wednesday. He said the issue with the completed passes, it wasn't just the secondary. It wasn't just the lack of pass rush. It was the in-between as well.
The linebackers.
And people forget about that. You know, linebackers doing their thing and being in the right place and getting proper depth is huge. And
you
that's something we talked
gaps,
about.
Yeah.
That's something we talked about in training camp this year is Quan being better in pass coverage. And unfortunately, you know, this is going to be a second game where he's not going to be able to show some of those.
There were a couple times, and I didn't get to point this out in the cover three because I was focusing so much on the secondary, but I have a couple clips saved on my computer where some of those, you know, like little crossing and drag routes, like they were Beckwith's guy. You know, they were somebody like.
Especially on those switches, with the crossing routes.
It is so difficult to have that kind of chemistry. And so, you know, especially for a rookie, you know, Beckwith has so much on his plate. You don't want to bend. You don't want to get on him too much about it, but I mean, you got to call it what it is.
Right.
That's his guy. That's his assignment.
Yep.
You know, whether he's young, whether he's learning, whatever it is, he missed it.
And here's the real problem. Obviously, the Giants are going to use some of those plays that worked against Beckwith and the Bucs linebackers last week. And with those type of switches, you almost have to anticipate it as a linebacker.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
See it before it happens and already start to kind of flow.
Which is really tough as a rookie.
That's very tough because in that type of coverage and that type of whether it's a mesh play or a rub route or a crossing route, one step, one false move, or one split second of hesitation can create so much separation for those wide receivers.
Yep. So, I mean, we'll have to see. The Giants certainly play. You know, Cutter talked about today, one of the questions was talking about the depth of the linebacker position. And Cutter was saying that the Giants actually play a lot of 11 personnel. The Giants aren't really a team that's going to – like, we even saw the Vikings a couple times with Cook go, like, 13 personnel. Like, have three tight ends in there, you know. Yep. So the Giants run – 11 personnel, which is only one tight end, one running back. I think Cutter was saying in the 80% of the time. So they are a heavy, more of a spread out, vertical kind of passing team. And so,
and even in the run game,
that's good and bad. That means you know they won't suffer too much against the run game. But it certainly means, like you just said, the chemistry's got to be on point for some of these passes.
Even in the run game, the Giants will run out of that spread. You know, and they don't have to have a bunch of tight ends there to run the ball. They'll do that as well. Mm-hmm. The one thing about this game from a linebacker perspective, and for you Riley Bulla fans that automatically think he's coming off the practice squad, I don't think that that's going
to
happen.
They're not going to.
You know, they've got enough linebackers to get through this game. Cutter rattled them off. We've got Adarius Lanton. We've got Kendall Beckwith, Cameron Lynch.
Devontae Bond.
And Devontae Bond. That's four. And I think they're going to roll playing, with those guys.
There's going to be two on the field most of the time anyway, right?
Right.
Because you're playing two backups. Right.
So I don't think that they're going to activate Riley Bulla unless something happens from an illness perspective between now and Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm going to be kneeling during the national anthem, but I'm not protesting anything that like the players do. I'll be protesting Ben McAdoo's mustache.
Is that it bad?
It's bad. What do you mean, is it bad? Well, first of all, it's a mustache only, so it's bad to begin with. Have you not seen it?
There are some legendary mustaches. Well,
this is not 1970.
All right,
Burt Reynolds is not driving a Trans Am.
Slow down there.
It's a bad mustache.
Slow down. Lord.
Listen, asking a bad mustache. That's like saying, you know, was it a bad
We were born
Ron
in the
Burgundy
70s.
If he walked through that door, you would not say a damn word about his mustache.
It depends if he had the news crew with him or not.
Right. That's well, true.
If it was just Ron, just I think we could take
they're
it.
They're just a conch shell away from assembling, okay?
That's true.
All right, so
we were born in the 70s. We know what a bad mustache looks like.
Yeah. And a lot of our fathers still have those mustaches.
My dad still has a mustache.
My dad brought his down to the goatee lately, which is it only took him 40 years to do it. But anyway, the one time he did shave it, I didn't even recognize him. I started screaming, and I was like 26. I mean, I wasn't even like a little kid. I was like, it was this man in my house.
Coming to take me away.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, it'll be like when we see Trevor without his man bun. It's going to be very frightening, possibly.
Weird. Speaking of frightening, I hope that the Bucs defense is not going to be frightened by Eli Manning. But when I was doing some statistic digging for this week's SR's Fab Five, Eli Manning is like Case Keenum. I mean, he's undefeated against the Buccaneers.
Oh, great. Here we go.
He puts up some tremendous numbers.
2003 was the last time the Buccaneers beat the Giants. 2003. Yes. Brad Johnson versus Kerry Collins.
Yep.
Was that a Monday night game?
That was,
I
believe so.
I remember they played a Monday night game.
Yeah, I think so. And I will say this, too. Tom Brady, also undefeated against the Buccaneers as well.
Yeah.
That's
not a stretch. Yeah, exactly.
That's not as much of a shock. He's been going up against some not great Bucs
coaches. This isn't really a shock, but it's still kind of alarming. I want to say that the Patriots in the three meetings that they've had under Tom Brady against the Buccaneers, I want to say they're 86-10 was the combined score. Of those
one of them was in London, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, one was in London. Yeah, okay. One was up in New England with Shannon.
Both of them were up in New England.
Yeah, that's right. They've been
2005.
Last time they played him here was in 97 at the old Houlihan Stadium.
Right.
Yeah. Drew Bledsoe, quarterback.
Yep. I remember that game.
Beat him.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very, very difficult week, I think, for the Buccaneers, unless they get some pass rush. Unless this pass rush comes to life from a defensive standpoint, if you give these quarterbacks who are 70% completion guys or better – all day to throw. It's going to get.
But then this is what this is. I was thinking about this on the drive here today. So this is what has to happen then. Jameis Winston has to play great, and the Buccaneers have to outscore the Giants. When's the last time the Buccaneers won a shootout?
No.
If the defense is hurt, if they're going to struggle,
has to play great. This team needs to come out with the Carolina Panthers Monday Night Football game plan of 2016 and pound the rock.
This team is not going to stop the Giants. They cannot pressure Eli Manning, and with those receivers, he will pick them apart.
The best way to defeat
Eli Manning. Try and keep him off the field. I see what you're saying. No.
And Tom Brady is keep him on the bench.
If Eli scores 31, the Bucs have to score 32.
Well, that goes without saying.
But I'm just saying, when is the last time? There's no more excuses for this offense. There's no more excuses for Jameis. There's no more excuses for Mike. There's no more excuses for Dirk Cutter as the play caller anymore. Score some damn points. If the Vikings score 34, you got to score 35. Quit making excuses for this offense. Five,
I didn't say that they did it wrong, but this team was so intense on finding weapons for Winston this offseason and getting DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin, and they thought if we give him more weapons, he's automatically going to become better, when the real key to Winston's improvement as a barely third-year quarterback in this league, and this goes for almost every young quarterback, is have a strong running game. Have a strong running game. Jameis Winston was better at Florida State his redshirt freshman year from a statistical standpoint, and I guess you could say from a win-loss standpoint because they were undefeated, not because he had Kelvin Benjamin, but because they ran for over 2,000 yards between Devonta Freeman, Carlos Williams, and James Wilder Jr. They had three running backs with over 500 yards. Yeah. The Seminoles rushed for, I want to say, I got to go back to the fab, but I want to say it was like 700 to 800 yards less the next year. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook was a freshman. He only got 1,000 yards. Their touchdown production, I think, dropped from 40 to 25, 15 less touchdowns on the ground. And Winston threw a lot more interceptions as a result because more was on his shoulders. And in college, he could get away with that and have all those great second-half comebacks. In the NFL, you throw two or three interceptions in a game, you're going to lose. And we saw that in Minnesota, where there was no running game, the game's on Jameis' shoulders, and he's not at the point, especially on the road against a formidable team, he's not at the point in this career where he can go out there and put the game on his right arm and win the game.
Yes, he is. Don't throw three interceptions. You don't throw three interceptions, you're back in that football
game.
He's
not. I agree. I agree with you, but he's not
there yet.
We're
making excuses.
It's not an excuse.
It's
I think
an
it's
excuse.
A reason.
It's his third year, not his first. It's not his third game.
He needs to do that, but he's not there yet.
He's got to get there.
Agreed.
It's time, and this is a game for him to do it in.
Trevor?
I don't disagree. This is a game you kind of got
to
do it
if
in.
If you want to be a playoff team, if you want to talk about going to Minnesota to be in the Super Bowl, this is a game you have to win. Last week was a game. It should have been a close game, even if you lost the game. It should not have been the blowout that it was.
Because the thing is that you're gonna go down this Bucs schedule every single week, and you're gonna be able to point out, like for example, the Giants. People can go, "Oh man, it's a tough matchup though." You know, Janoris Jenkins is a good corner. Landon Collins is a good safety. You know, they got Olivier Vernon. Blah blah. Every single team that they play, you can do that.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
You can make an excuse
except
for the Bucs offense
Browns.
If you want. Well, even the
No, exactly. Yeah, not the Browns, but they're not playing.
But they're not playing the Browns
unless they meet them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess no argument there. But so like eventually you have to become the juggernaut.
Right.
You have to be the person that they go. You know, it's not, and you have to be the team that, and not just in an NFL Network sense of we're previewing the matchup. You have to literally be a team where the other team goes, crap, we're playing Jameis Winston and Mike Evans.
And that's what Todd Monken said. That's what Todd Monken said yesterday. He goes, yes, I like the Giants' defense. I like JPP. I like Landon. I like Janoris. But I like our guys a little better.
So, and that's got to be the thing. It's got
to
be the.
I get all that, but here's the thing. You have to take advantage of your opponent's weaknesses. The Giants are the dead last team in terms of run defense. You have got to, and this helps Jameis become a better quarterback, get to play action
the
football.
Yeah, they totally have to control the game better. There's no question about that.
But even when they won the game against the Bears, 117 yards, averaged 3.4 yards a carry.
Not great.
Now they stuck with it. They kept running the football. But, of course, they also had a lead in that game.
Sure.
In the second half,
sizable.
They got a heavy dose of
Peyton
Barber.
I mean, the defense
really
won that one.
But I mean, I understand. Yes, the formula on paper before a game, absolutely. Control the clock, run the football. But if it doesn't go that way, It is time for Jameis Winston to establish himself as a top-tier, top-10 franchise quarterback, whatever label you want to put on him, and not throw three stupid interceptions again.
I'll tell you what I'm not looking forward to. If Odell Beckham goes off with Vern in coverage on him, that is just the Bucks fans.
You
are
will see
going
the
PewterReport.com
message boards melt down.
Because not only are people really looking for any chance that they can to jump on Vern, which is where they are at this point. Some of it's warranted. You know, some of it I think is still a little premature, whether you want to argue that or not, but some of it is warranted. But the thing is that people, Bucks fans more specifically, have a disdain for Odell Beckham Jr. because their wide receiver is
Mike Evans. That's a very
good
point. And
they don't want to watch Odell Beckham, the guy that a lot of people don't like for that very reason, because he's flashy and because he's just plain not – he is not their wide receiver.
That's a great point, Mike Evans. Trevor.
People are going to – I'm telling you, the message boards, the comments, everything is just going to fly if Odell has a good game against the Bucs.
Well, last year he had 108 yards, I believe, receiving something like that on 9 receptions. He didn't single-handedly win the game for the Giants. You know,
Odell's really good.
But he is really good.
He's really, really good.
He's going to be really good in this game.
Yes,
but you can win football games giving up 108 yards to the top receiver.
Yes,
in fact,
you
if you tell me that's all he's going to have in that game is 108 yards on 9 receptions, I'm going to say the Buccaneers have a good chance of winning that football game. But there's no doubt. Listen, they've got to establish the run. They've got to do those things. Those are all formulas for success. Number one formula, though, is not turning the damn ball over. You saw what happened in the Bears game, and you saw what happened last week. Complete reversal, and it was a reversal of the score.
Yeah. You know, and I think the thing, too, and to get to back to the pass rush for a quick second, there are going to be opportunities in this game. You have Ereck Flowers. The Giants' offensive line did not allow a sack last week to the Philadelphia Eagles, but they allowed 5 sacks the week before, 3 in the opener to Dallas. I'm not convinced that the Giants offensive line has their stuff together and figured out. So I think that if this Bucs pass rush is going to come to life, this is going to be the week to do it, and it needs to be the week because they got to have some confidence getting after Tom Brady on Thursday.
But who's going to do it?
Hold on a second. Brady's been sacked 10 times in 3 games, including 5 by Houston. And Houston has shown the ability to get to the pass, to get to the quarterback a lot more than Tampa Bay, obviously. Mm-hmm. 1 sack and 78 pass attempts. Who's going to get there? It's going to have to be Noah Spence. He's playing with one arm again, but at the same time, this is a guy that played in the harness last year, and he was the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in November with 2.5 sacks and a forced fumble or two. So he's going to have to do it.
Well, I mean, someone's going
to have to do
it.
Gerald's going to have to step up.
You know, but Gerald's playing
Gerald
on one wheel right
week.
Now.
It's about everybody else outside of Gerald.
Agreed, but he's got to produce. I mean, I know that
you can't if it's just you. You can't.
But don't you think the Giants are going to take a look at last week's game film and see what they did for Case Keenum with Max Protect, keeping tight ends to help? And if those cornerbacks play the way that they played against
the
Vikings,
Trevor, you nailed that in your cover three this week, by the way.
They have got to take whatever their defensive game plan was last week and just throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to Vern kind of talk a little bit after practice. He was talking to the media, and he was just saying, you know.
Are you guys on a first name? You can just call him Vern, not Vernon.
It's a Florida
Hargraves
thing.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, just
no,
checking.
No.
They get the Gator handshake going
right,
on.
Right, you know, long hair thing.
I was talking to James the other day. James Winston.
James?
Yeah.
Is it James or Jam?
Yeah. And I was talking to Bo, not Bobo.
Just Bo?
Yeah, just okay. Bo.
I.
You're short and everything. What Kansas State players? Never
Josh mind. Freeman?
Yeah. You're talking to Ja.
Ja?
Yeah, Ja. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, talking about Vern. Go ahead. I just did air quotes because everybody can see it over a podcast.
Side note, when Jameis was about to get drafted, somebody was like, doing a scouting report, and they were like, tell me a negative on Jameis Winston. Somebody quote tweeted and said, misspelled James. And like,
listen, my mom still calls him Jameson. How's Jameson doing? She asks me every time she sees me. I was like, well, I guess the whiskey maker's doing great. Jameis is doing all right. Hopefully he's not on the Jameson.
Right.
So anyways, you know, he was just saying that they had a couple plays where they were just playing out of position. Some of it was schematically. Some of it was just on the corners. But whatever it is, yes, the Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham Jr. at least those two, are too good at explosive movements in short areas that they can get separation immediately off the snap. You cannot play that off coverage against either of these dudes, because Odell Beckham, what makes him so dangerous is if you get the ball in his hands with space to work, he's one of the fastest players in the NFL. He's also one of the shiftiest. He will make you miss.
It's not just the go routes. He can take a short crossing route, 80 yards.
So that's it.
Well, the good news is he's got really bad hands and doesn't do good like catching the ball with one
hand. Yeah, except like the complete opposite of what you just said. It's actually true.
Wrong film I was
watching. But yeah, you have to, I mean, it's got to be, again, Mike Smith talked about it. It's true. There's layers to it. The pass rush has to work with the coverage, and you can say that as much as you want, and I even said this during the game, there's zero pass rush. It's not helping the secondary, but the secondary has to be better. You have to get better positioning from the safeties. The safeties, I don't think it was on them. I think it was more on the scheme, but they were just in no man's land the whole game. No.
For safeties, they took away Kyle Rudolph now. He only had one catch for four yards.
Crap. Okay. Oh, my God.
They neutralized Kyle Rudolph.
Anyways, you have to, as a safety even more than a corner, that whole mantra of the best compliment is for you to not get a pass thrown to you because you're playing that good of coverage. Mm-hmm. You have to have that as a safety. You have to be able to be enough of a threat to even when a wide receiver burns a corner, your safety is playing in such a good position that they don't want to throw the ball.
So a big week from TJ Ward this week?
Okay, well.
Right, Trevor? Maybe not?
He's
doubtful. He has not practiced a single day this week, so he will probably not play.
Let me ask you a quick question. We were talking about Justin Evans a minute ago. Jason Light had no idea that TJ Ward was going to be available. But had he been able to sign T.J. Ward, say if T.J. had been a free agent before the draft?
Yes.
They don't draft Justin Evans at that point, do they?
I hope they draft Kareem Hunt
exactly.
In the second round. I spent some time talking about that in my Fab Five today. And listen,
taking a fire, putting gasoline straight on.
There are some people out there that think I am a Jason Light cheerleader and that whatever he does, he can do no wrong in my eyes. And that's not necessarily the case. I do support a lot of what Jason has done.
He's done a lot of good.
He's done a lot of good. And in my opinion, and until this team wins a playoff game, he's going to remain number two. But, I mean, he's a lot better than Mark Dominic and Bruce Allen for sure. And you can't argue with what Rich McKay did to help build this team into the Super Bowl champion that
you're leaving out Phil Kruger, the greatest general manager in history, who let Doug Williams walk, which was the right move. I mean, obviously, we can look back on it clearly.
Clearly, that was the right move. Yeah, no, but Jason, I think, is right there. He's got this team going in the right direction. So many of his picks have hit. But here's the thing. It's not like Kareem Hunt, who I've been beating the guy's drum since dating back to last year. Trevor, you hopped aboard. You certainly saw what kind of a special player he was when we were in Mobile, when he was winning the MVP of the game, by the way.
Well, listen, Christian Ponder and E.J. Manuel were also MVPs of that game, too, so let's not crown them kings yet. And let's face it, Kareem Hunt should not even be playing right now. He didn't even win the starting job. Right. He won it by default based on injury.
Right. Perfect team, perfect scenario.
Right. Not necessarily the case.
But he's much better in the NFL than I saw, because I remember you sending me videos of Kareem Hunt, and I was like, it's freaking Toledo, Scott. Yeah. I almost said something else. It's freaking
the guy
Toledo.
And I'm not
– you love these small school guys. You know what I mean? You had some guy from South Dakota, Northwestern Directional State a few years ago, a Crockett guy or somebody.
Yes.
13 longitude.
This guy, And I was like, you always like these but you nailed it on Kareem. There's no doubt about it.
Well –
I still say Dalvin, but that's just me.
Kidding. Okay, this is some of the stats I dug up for the Fab this week. And I didn't know this going in. I just go where the stats take me. If you look at the top 10 running backs in the league right now, and this is going to change over the course of the season, but right now, these rookie running backs have taken the league by storm. Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, Tarik Cohen for sure. And also last year, the top two rushers were rookies. Ezekiel Elliott and... Howard.
From Chicago, Howard.
Jordan Howard, yeah. So when you look at the top 10 list, seven out of the 10 guys on the list are age 25 and younger.
Like you and I?
No, more like Trevor.
Okay.
Out of those top 10 guys, 9 out of the 10 were drafted in rounds 1 through 4. Half of the 10 were drafted in rounds 1 or 2. And I know that there was a period of time where
the
league...
You can get running backs anywhere. They're a dime a dozen.
Exactly. Where that was the methodology. That was the line of thinking. As teams assembled running back by committees, okay? Mm-hmm. And we saw the number of 1,000-yard rushers, which at one point was actually 23 1,000-yard rushers in the league. And those were two different years. It went from that down to 7 just 2 years ago. This past year, it got back up to 12. I think you're seeing a revitalization mm-hmm. of the run game. And the reason for that is because of all these young quarterbacks that have come in the league, the Jared Goffs with Todd Gurley's, the Dak Prescott's with Ezekiel Elliott's. They're pairing up, GMs around the league, they're pairing up young quarterbacks and young running backs to give these young running or these young quarterbacks the opportunity to develop. And I asked Eli Manning about this on the conference call this week about having Tiki Barber, a two-time Pro Bowl guy, when Eli was there, Tiki was just taking off as an established guy, helping this rookie quarterback out.
Was Tiki here today?
That was Rondé.
How do you know?
That's a good point.
That's a good, yeah, exactly.
It might have been.
Thank you.
It might have been Tiki.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, they weren't wearing their jerseys, so I couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think Jason Light next year, and listen, this was a very good running back class. We saw the rookie from UTEP, Aaron Jones, have to come off the bench last night in Green Bay mm-hmm. when another rookie, Jamal Williams, was injured, and the Packers' backfield got decimated. There were a lot of good running backs. There's Marlon Mack, who mm-hmm. really hasn't gotten a chance to show what he's been capable of doing. There's Chris Carson up there in Seattle, who is, as a seventh-round pick out of Oklahoma State, doing some wonderful things up there. This is another good running back draft coming up in 2018, and not just the top shelf guys like your guy Darius Geis or Saquon Barkley at Penn State, but the Bucs are going to have to start over at running back unless Doug Martin comes back and turns in a 1,000 to 1,200 yard season.
This offseason.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's I said on Twitter, and this is just kind of a fun little I'm throwing this out here thing. I just said, hey, if I was the Bucs on Monday, I would have asked the Falcons what their asking price for Tevin Coleman is.
Yeah.
You know, because Tevin Coleman's a really good running back, and he's obviously behind an established Devonta Freeman that's not going to go anywhere. So in
especially since Freeman got paid.
Right. And so, like, in a year or two, when Tevin Coleman's contract is up, they're not going to be able to pay Tevin Coleman.
Right.
So if the Bucs are going to draft a running back in the first three rounds this year.
Why not get a proven guy with NFL experience
right,
who's still young?
Like, and
other than the fact there's no way in hell the Falcons would
right,
trade
probably
to a,
not, but
you know,
hey.
Division rival, but still.
You can't, you gotta ask.
You make
asking,
the phone call.
You know?
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. You just make the phone. You just get like, hey, how you doing? You know?
Which I tell you to do with girls all the time, you know? And you're still afraid to. Just
oh
make the
God.
Phone call.
Jesus
just
Christ.
Make the call.
You're just
not
making
hard.
Stuff up. Now you call me out
true.
On the podcast. You're just making stuff up.
Like my dad told me in 1986, son. Even as ugly as you are, if you ask 10 girls out, 3 is going to say yes. It's just a
three?
Numbers game.
3?
Yeah. Huh?
I might have to call your dad on some stats there.
I was 3.8. I tracked that through high school. So
I was a damn 6.5 back in my day.
Back when you and Charlie Chaplin were running the roads there, Uncle Stan. Anyway, all right, we were actually run out of time. We're not exactly sure what our game plan is for the upcoming podcast, other than we're going to do one after the Giants game on Sunday. Do we have, are we putting any wagers on this game, guys?
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing is if you're going to do any wagering, you need to do it at mybookie.ag. And I'm not going to give any gambling advice because I got my clock clean last week. But
I'll give you gambling advice. Put all your money on Indianapolis this week because for whatever reason, they're favored. They're getting 13 points.
There you go. But listen,
go to mybookie and do it.
Yeah. You're smarter than me, right? Buccaneer fans, right? Pewter Nation. So go out there. And not just play fantasy football, but actually put your money where your mouth is. If you think you know who's going to win, mybookie.ag is the place to go. They've got fantastic payouts. You win, you get paid. It's within 48 hours. The best part is with your initial deposit, if you mention the Pewter Nation podcast as the source, if you mention the word pewter as the promo code, P-E-W-T-E-R, they're going to match your initial deposit. So if you put in $100, they're going to give you $100. You're starting out with $200. If you put in $500, they're going to give you $500. You're starting off with $1,000 to do your gaming, whether it's college football, pro football, any other sport. MyBookie.ag is the place to go. Be sure you tell them PewterReport.com, the Pewter Nation podcast sent you, and mention Pewter as your promo code, and you're going to get double your deposit.
Who the Gators got this weekend, Trevor?
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt played well against Alabama last week. We want Alabama. Bring on Alabama. Well, you got your wish.
They played pretty good against Kansas State.
Every team wants Alabama until
they play them.
Until at the snap, as my friend tweeted earlier this week, they run at the speed of the zombies from 28 days later, and all of a sudden you're just engulfed in every play.
Yeah, it's not Walking Dead zombies, right?
No, this is like 28 days later, hyped up on cocaine zombies.
It's like World War Z zombies.
Yes.
Like sprinting, marathon.
Like climbing up on each other to get over the wall. That is Alabama.
Yeah, they're sprinters, but they're also marathon guys because, let's face it, they don't get tired. They're dead.
Well, that's true.
They're dead tired.
They're cyborgs.
Who's Florida State play? Wake?
Yeah.
They got a chance?
I'm not putting any money on it on that one.
All right.
I mean, they'll be Wake, but
no, they're not going to be Wake.
No, they're going to curb stomp Wake.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous about Kansas State against Baylor, believe it or not. Even though Baylor's 0-4, they're getting their act together. They were given Oklahoma all they could withstand last week before Oklahoma said, we're Oklahoma.
Right. Well, that's what Florida State's got to do. They've got to decide that they're Florida State. They should have done that last week against North Carolina State and decided not to. But anyway, all right, Uncle Stan, we won't talk any more college football. We will wrap it up.
If you're listening on Friday or Saturday or Sunday before the game, make sure you visit PewterReport.com for our PewterReport.com prediction and previews, where all three of us give our picks for the game. We're not giving them to you here in the podcast. Go to the website, read the article. We talk about the matchups. We save some of the stuff that we didn't talk about here. Put it on the website. Check it out.
I'm actually just going to transcribe what we talked about and put it up, so you guys don't need to send anything.
That's probably good.
It's going to be the same stuff. Go check it out and see what our score predictions are going to be, and add yours, and let's see where we're at on that.
Can I get in on the action, too? Why don't you let me get in there and write what I believe is going to win or not?
If your typewriter can connect to the internet, sure.
If you can get a new ink ribbon for your typewriter, Uncle Stan, go ahead. You can join in on the fun.
Dag nabbit.
Make sure to check out our weekly feature, too. Also, The Fifth Down. This week, we had O.J. Howard. That's sponsored by Ford's Garage, one of our great sponsors. New locations opening up all over the place, including Lakeland later this year. Already a location, Wesley Chapel, over in the West Chase, Citrus Park area. And, of course, one of the originals in Brandon. And then if you're down in Fort Myers, the Estero area. And if for some reason you're being punished for crimes that you've committed and you get forced to go to the Detroit area, they have a location in Dearborn as well. So, anyway, we want people to check out all of those things and also patronize our sponsors as much as possible. We're on Instagram, at Pewter Report, growing. We've gained 500 or 600 since just training camp. We want to get over 2,000 on that. Twitter followers, over 27,000, I think it is.
Yep.
Facebook, around 8,000. So join us. You have to try and avoid Pewter Report. We're everywhere.
You have to try not to find Pewter Report. At the end of the day, it's not myself, Mark, and Trevor. It's you guys.
No, it's me.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it is kind of him.
Okay. It mostly is Trevor. Right. But it's also you, Pewter Nation. We appreciate your support. We've had record traffic this month of September. Actually, we've had record traffic dating back to April. We've had several consecutive months where you guys have given us the love, and we greatly appreciate it. So this is why we call this podcast the Pewter Nation Podcast. It's for you guys.
And if you have a business or you work for a company that may be interested, just shoot Scott or I an email. It's either Scott or Mark at PewterReport.com. We'll be happy to talk to them and talk to your business about some partnership opportunities. So check us out if that's something you're interested in as well. We will be back on Sunday evening with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast. For Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikma, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you after the Buccaneers smoke the Giants. Oops, did I say that out loud?